Luke chapter 1, beginning at the 11th verse. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. But when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the peoples of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And then once John was born, his father Zechariah sang this song: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. So the first Advent calendar appeared in 1851, and it featured a biblical character a day countdown for Christian worshipers to prepare for Christmas. And it featured, among others, John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, since John is featured in the stories of Jesus' birth and in the very beginning of his ministry. Actually, John is one of the most prominent biblical figures in the whole Advent season. If we were following the schedule of the weekly Bible readings that we typically follow, we would actually be getting stories of John the Baptist in the middle 2 weeks of December. And if we had followed that schedule, the very first week of Advent readings is an apocalyptic end of days reading. If the church published a monthly annual calendar, you could make the case for John the Baptist being Mr. December. And even though the other readings change every year in December, John the Baptist doesn't. He remains and appears and dominates the scene every year. And if we had been following the assigned readings for these Sundays, they wouldn't be even the story about John the Baptist that we read this morning, which is how he fits into the Christmas story, but it would be rather his fiery preaching. "Repent," he says, and he was out in the wilderness baptizing. We would be called a brood of vipers and be threatened with the coming wrath, complete with winnowing fork and unquenchable fire. Oh, we are a long way from a silent night and a baby so tender and mild. Not a very merry Christmas. This cousin of Jesus would have had a hard time fitting into our current Advent celebrations and the Advent calendars we get nowadays, especially since Advent calendars have been completely co-opted by our secular culture and have pretty much nothing to do with Christmas, let alone Jesus. Have you seen some of them? There's a Merry Fitness daily protein supplement Advent calendar, or the daily shot of tequila calendar, and there I've seen makeup Advent calendars and wine and scotch calendars. I even saw an Advent calendar, each day is a dog treat. It's hard to imagine John the Baptist amongst all the tequila and the makeup and the protein shakes and the dog treats, scowling, "Repent, you brood of vipers." John the Baptizer does not come off as lovable or domesticated in our gospel readings. He lives in the boonies. His social skills are questionable. He's more fringe than mainstream. Chances are John the Baptist never took sensitivity training or a class in anger management. And yet, John the Baptist is indispensable to the Christmas story and to the Christian story. Of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are the four books of the Bible that give us the story of Jesus' life, and only two of those actually tell the story of his birth. But they all tell the story of John the Baptist. They can't talk about Jesus without also talking about John. Eastern churches, the Orthodox, have given him the name the forerunner of Christ. And the ancient fathers of the church from like the 5th century called him a lamp preceding Christ. And then in the Reformation, 1,000 years later, he was called a lantern which shone in front of the Son of God. So in a word, John the Baptist gets us ready for Jesus and introduces us to him. Remember last week, Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John. And John, not even born yet, still in his mother's womb, kicks inside of her when these two cousins, John and Jesus, meet. He knew, they knew the import of this encounter and the magnitude of what was to come, even as they probably couldn't even imagine it. But John does more than simply point to Jesus, though he certainly does that. He is really also all about preparing us for Jesus. And you probably know a little bit about preparing these days. Maybe you're experiencing some of the stress Gary shared with us with the children. My guess is that all of your errands this weekend have been preparing for Christmas, and the lists perhaps even get longer as you go. I know my lists even have lists under them. You know, like there's go to CVS, there's go to the paper store. Well, under CVS, there's like three things. The lists even have lists. It is a lot. Preparing is hard work. Or think about cooking and baking. What's the first thing the experts tell us to do? Very first thing.
What? Washing our hands.
Oh my gosh, washing our hands. Yes, that's so important. Washing our hands. I think I heard something over here. Read the recipe. Well, wow. I can't hear you. Read the recipe. Preheat the oven. But before you preheat, you got to read the recipe to know preheat the oven, right? And they say you're supposed to read the recipe all the way through to the end, not just the first three things. Read the recipe all the way through to the end. And then after that, the expert, there's also cooking folk, you know what is next. It's called mise en place, right? What does mise en place mean? Gather the ingredients, get all, put in place is what literally it means. And what you're supposed to do there is chop all the onions, put them in a bowl and put it there, get all your spices, measure, put them all in those little cups. Put in place, be ready for cooking. And I know that when I actually do those things, which is rare, but when I do those things, you know, it goes a lot better. It goes a lot, but preparing is hard work. And Advent is not just preparing for a day or a dinner or a family gathering. We are also preparing for Jesus. And the way John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus is by baptizing, that hence he gets his name, and preaching. And what he preaches actually puts him right in the fire and brimstone department. Repent. Repent is what he says. Perhaps when you hear repent, you imagine big-haired televangelists staring right into the camera with all seriousness, repent and be saved. Or maybe when you hear the word repent, you hear you should feel really, really bad about everything you've done and you got to do something to get it right. But what if we scrape away all of those unhelpful layers of cultural rust from that old word and we hear John's message in a new way? Because originally, repent was not a churchy word. The ancient word repent means to turn, to change course, to rethink something or to reconsider something. It is the turning of our whole selves without leaving anything behind towards God. It is a refocusing of our feelings and our affections and our instincts in light of what God has done in Jesus. Christian repentance is not about guilt tripping. It is about grace and transformation and flourishing. It is about rethinking and rearranging everything, in light of the victory accomplished in the stable in Bethlehem and on a Roman cross. In the arrival of Jesus of Nazareth, Almighty God has heard us, has visited us, has healed us, has lifted us up, and freed us all from all that seeks to harm us and bring us down. This is who John the Baptist announces. And to receive him, we do need to prepare. But we need to prepare more than our homes. We need to prepare our hearts. Here is a little poem that I love that gives us a way to do this. It's called On How to Be a Manger. Be empty. Be sturdy. Be soft inside. Be still and be ready. How to be a manger. Be empty, be sturdy, be soft inside, be still, and be ready. May it be so. Amen.